This is the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way, inviting you to join us for the 2015 edition of Longhorn Football. We'll bring you all the action all season long, including in-depth analysis and exclusive access to players and coaches before the opening kick and after the final whistle. And each week we'll chat with head coach Charlie Strong on Longhorn Weekly. This is your exclusive source for UT football, the Longhorn IMG Radio Network.
Texas, Iowa State, 6 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
Are you ready?
You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, you miss Christopher Harris, you miss college picks, this little Aggie talk, a little bit of everything. And so what we're going to do now, we've got a very full show for you. It's all available on podcastarena.com, by the way. You can go back and listen to it there. But R.J. Bell will join us at 5:30, as always, with his insight into the NFL. And next hour, we've also got Mike Greenberg. Had a nice little conversation with him this morning that we will air. So if you're a Mike and Mike fan, I think you'll want to tune in for that. All right, we got to do the NFL now. So we'll start off with another London game. Lions getting 3.5 against the Chiefs. Are the Chiefs really 3.5 points better than the Lions on a neutral field?
I tend to think so. I think the Lions are really terrible, and I think the Chiefs are probably...
But they've got Jim Bob Cooter now.
That's true. A coaching change is what's going to keep me away from this, but
yeah.
I think Kansas City's probably a little bit better than their record, but Detroit is just such a... It's just a mess.
I think I'm going to take the under 45 on it.
Okay,
but I don't really.
Yeah, but then you got to. I mean, is Detroit defensively good enough to?
Well, but Kansas City is the king of the field goals.
Yeah, that's true.
So even if they can't stop them, they'll just kick 10 field goals, and it'll be 30-14, and I'd go under. Perfect. If I had to, I'd take the Chiefs here. Vikings 1-point favorites at Chicago. That's an interesting line to me because, you know. The way the Bears have played, you would think the Vikings would be a bigger favorite, but I kind of think the Lions are right. It should be close to pick them here. I think that's about a 3-point difference between these teams in general.
Yeah, I'm staying away from that one, too.
Yeah, I am, too. But if I had to, I'd probably take the Vikings. All right, Falcons.
I'd probably be on the Bears.
Okay. Falcons at home against the Buccaneers. Falcons let me down last week, but this is home Falcon.
Yeah,
I will take the Falcons -7, and that's one of my three today.
I have to take the Falcons -7, too. I won't play it because I don't know what's going on with the Falcons right now. I don't know if they – I mean, when Devontae Freeman doesn't go off, their offense doesn't seem to work. And the Titans did a good job of stopping the run, and it's like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones don't exist anymore for some strange reason. Roddy White doesn't exist for some strange reason, so – I'll leave it alone. If I had to, I'd be on the Falcons with you.
All right, here's my second play. I'm gonna stick with what didn't work last week but should have, which is over 49 in Saints Giants. I don't think the Saints should be 3-point favorites over anybody, but the Giants. I just don't know which Giants team's gonna show up. If I had to take a side on it, I'd probably take the Giants and the points, but I'm taking the over 49 as play number two.
Okay, I'd probably be on the Giants as well. And I don't mind your over 49.
All right, 49ers at the Rams. Rams now up to -8. I just have a sneaking suspicion bad Ram is going to show up. I just can't, with any good conscience, bet on the San Francisco 49ers.
I think the Rams are going to house this team. Todd Gurley is a freak right now and just having his way, and the Niners are not stopping the run, and they've got locker room problems, like Vernon Davis and Joe Staley fighting over Colin Kaepernick. I mean, it's a total disaster.
It's a bleep
right
show
now.
Is what it is.
But the Rams are just too unreliable for me to give more than a touchdown. Yeah, if I had to, I'd be on the Rams. I don't think I have to be.
Because though. Bad Ram can show up real easy. Cardinals at the Browns. Cardinals -5.5.
That's my first play is Cardinals -5.5. I think the Cardinals are another one of these teams that's better than what their record says. And this is
their record's 5-2. That's pretty good.
I think they're even better than that. I think they're one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, most power, most computer rankings would have them number one.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know if I think they're better than Green Bay, but everybody else for sure. So I'll be on that. That's my first play. And speaking of messes, who's going to play quarterback for the Browns?
Yeah,
McCown's hurt. Manziel, we don't know what's going on with him. And if he plays, it makes me love Arizona -5.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm not going to take that as one of my plays just so we can give the people something different. But I agree with you 100% on that. Steelers and Bengals are a pick 'em, and with Roethlisberger back, I think that makes sense. Steelers being at home. It's hard for me to buy into these Bengals, but I tell you what, I think I would take the Bengals here till they prove me wrong.
I think I would too. I just think, you know, if Roethlisberger, if his first game back, he's obviously not going to be looking like he's been out there for 8 weeks. And Andy Dalton right now is the best quarterback in the league. So I have a hard time betting against the Bengals for sure.
All right. The Ravens -3.5. At home against the Chargers. That's one of those negative body clock games. And I don't know what quite has gone wrong with the Chargers, but they can't stop the run. I think the Ravens cover the 3.5 here. I think they bounce back. They played pretty well on Monday night against a superior team. I think they're going to have another good game, and I don't think the Chargers are very good right now.
I'm going to go with over 50 in that game.
Okay.
San Diego, awful. Awful defensively. One of the best teams, I think the best team offensively in the league. And the Ravens, awful defensively, can't stop the pass to save their lives. 50 seems almost like a gift to me. So that's my second play is San Diego Baltimore over 50.
I like that, although I do think the Ravens defense has started to figure some things out, but not enough.
They haven't figured out how to stop the pass.
No, no.
And that's what Philip Rivers is trying to do.
Their secondary is pretty bad. Raiders getting 3 at home from the Jets.
God, that's tough, isn't it?
I
think the Jets are a really good team, and the reason they're a really good team is because they've run the ball really well. The Raiders are very difficult to run on this season, and that's surprising. Normally, the Raiders are one of the worst teams against the run because everybody gets a big lead, and then they just run the ball on them all day. The Raiders are legitimately good defensively. If I had to pick a side, I'd probably take the 3 points with the Raiders.
Yeah, I would go ahead and give the 3 with the Jets. Okay. I do like the Raiders. I've been saying all along I think they can win 7 or 8 games this year. But when you look at who they've beaten, not very good teams. And I do think the Jets are a good team. This would be the Raiders. If the Raiders were to win this game, I think it'd be the best team they've beaten by far on their schedule. I mean, the Ravens are probably it, but they're 1-6. So I like the Jets here. I think this... I like that team. Seahawks -5 at Cowboy.
Number's gone down a little bit. Not a game I want to play, but I can't bet on the Cowboys until they get Romo back. I mean, it's such a mess, and Seattle's going to take away the run. And
without that, you're going to have to depend on Matt Castle.
Yeah, I have to say Seattle.
Yeah, I will actually take Seattle -5. That'll be my third play. Packers -3 at Denver. Boy, you know, not all 6-0 teams are created alike, and I look at this and I think, my goodness, that line is too low, even in Denver, but I couldn't touch it. I think I'd almost go Bronco here at +3. That's just one of those lines that's just suckering me to bet Green Bay.
Well, consider me a sucker, because that's my third play is Green Bay. I just think that, you know, they're both undefeated. But one of those teams is a really, really good team, and the other one is really good on one side of the ball. But
that's a tough place to play.
It is.
And I mean, I'm looking forward to that game. I mean, it's obviously game of the week, but no play for me, but I'd lean Bronco. And Monday night, Colts +7 at Carolina. I cannot touch the Colts right now, but gosh, that seven's tempting.
I have to take the Colts plus seven. I know they're junk. You know, I'm not trying to be like a Colts defender. They're trash right now, but 7 points is too much. And if they, you know, the Colts are bad, but I don't think they're one of the worst teams in the league. You know what I mean? And
they're a step above.
Yeah,
not much. I mean, they're barely a step above the Texans and Titans.
And I would understand 7 points against New England. I don't understand 7 points against Carolina.
Yeah, but it's kind of like I told you last week, man. You got to quit thinking of these as the Colts from last year. Because
right, but
not
when
that
when the Colts played the Patriots, they played them close. They covered against the Patriots.
They did.
I think once you, they're bad. But and I don't want the Colts as a favorite right now. But if you're going to give me a touchdown, that's tough to say no to.
I'm saying no to it. I don't want anywhere near that team right now. And of course, your Texans. I don't know that I've ever seen this, where a team has one of the worst first halves in football history, and a week later they're a favorite.
Mind-boggling, is it? I mean, I guess home field advantage is part of it, but
or as Ricky Bobby would say, mind-bottling.
Mind-bottling. Yeah, but
actually, that was Blades of Glory.
They're also on, you know, I mean, they're on their second quarterback, and it's, you know, both these teams are just a train wreck.
And that's why I couldn't play it, but at plus 3.5, you have to take the Titans. You have to.
There's no way you can bet the Texans right now.
No, when there's two crap teams, I always take the team that's getting points. But inevitably, when there's two crap teams, it winds up being a rout one way or the other.
The one thing I will say for the Texans, and I was talking about the locker room issues in San Francisco and infighting and things like that. The Texans cut off a cancer this week, and sometimes that can get you to be right for a little while, you know? And I don't think there's any doubt that Ryan Mallett was a cancer to that team. I don't know if he was the main cancer. Like, he might have been like...
Dude, if he caused that first half...
Right.
Never mind. I was going to say something completely inappropriate.
He might be like elbow cancer, and there's still maybe you still may be dealing with like stomach and liver cancer, but he was still a cancer, and they got rid of him. So if you're looking for a reason why the Texans should do well this week, I think that's it. But I just can't consider putting money down on the Houston Texans to win a football game, especially not even they'd have to win by more than a field goal. Like they don't. Winning wouldn't be good enough. Like, no. There's no way I can do it.
No, and from what we've seen of them all year, the Titans' defense played pretty well last week. They play like that this week. They're going to come in here and win.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Is that what we were doing?
What were Jong's three plays?
Oh, yeah. I need your three plays, Jong.
I'm going to take...
Jong's an expert on NFL betting.
No, not really.
3-0 last week.
I just had a good week last week. Steelers, Bengals over 48.5, Colts plus the 7, and I'm going to take the Texans, Titans under 43.5.
All right.
Actually, I like that. That's a good one. So, all right. There we go. You're all set. Now we'll take a break.
Fred, what was your – you had Falcons minus the 7. You had Giants under 49.
No, over.
Over. I'm sorry. Over. Over. And what was your other one?
Seahawks minus 5.
Seahawks minus the 5.
Yes. All right. Now we'll take a break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Don't call it a comeback.
Cowboys Seahawks NFL 3:30 Sunday, presented by All American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780 ESPN is your number, and pretty full hour here, so if you want to get in, this will be your chance. So let's try a couple phone calls. Cody, you get to lead it off. What's up?
Hey guys, sports.
Sports to you.
I just had a quick question. I know y'all probably got this question on you. I'm sure you addressed it, but who y'all feel would be the best bet on for a starting point guard for the rest of the year? Ty Lawson or Beverly? I know Ty's going to take away points from Harden, And I feel like we need Beverly on there for defense. I just want to get your guys' input on that. I'm going to go ahead and hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think it's to be determined who – I mean, I think you're going to see both of them get a lot of run out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it really matters who's out there first. It may be dependent on the matchup. But if Ty Lawson has it together, he's a better player than Patrick Beverly. I don't know if he makes the team better necessarily.
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time for them to figure out what combinations work best, whether Beverly and Harden work best or Lawson and Harden or, you know, I think it all kind of comes down to what Kevin McHale can work and if Lawson can stay straight, which – and he showed flashes the other night, but he also was very sloppy. Couldn't shoot the ball. I guess none of them could shoot the ball. Had some bad passes. Wasn't really in the right spot a bunch of times, and that's going to happen early in the season. It shouldn't happen so bad that you lose by 20 to the Nuggets, but they'll get it together. I'm not too worried about one game like that, but I do think it's going to take time. They're working in a lot of new guys into this rotation too, so it is going to take time to sort of figure it out and what works best. And some nights it's going to work. Some nights it won't, and I think tonight's probably going to be one of those won't nights.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. At least they get Dwight Howard back. I don't know that that's going to be enough against Golden State, but, hey, it's one out of 82.
All right.
So let's try Darren.
What's up, Darren? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports.
Nice. Now, I was actually thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. Is it me or does it seem like a year of a Heisman-winning quarterback in the NFL? Right from Carson Palmer all the way to Johnny Manziel to Cam Newton to Sam Bradford to Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Like, I've never seen a season where there's this many Heisman quarterbacks that actually started the game in the NFL. And if Kirk Cousins goes down, Blake Griffin might get a snap. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Well, I don't know if Blake Griffin's arm strength is really enough to get it. Not Robert Griffin. I think it's just
I've never kept track of how many we're playing in any given year.
No.
But, yeah, there's a lot of them out there right now.
How many of them are playing well, though?
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And Carson Palmer. I think that's it. And even Cam Newton is questionable.
Yeah, well, he's played okay. I don't think he's been great this year, but he's been good enough.
Yeah.
And he's for the most part, he's not turning the ball over as much. And his running ability, they know how to use him running the ball, which some of these teams that have dual threat quarterbacks don't. Did you see that ESPN shutting down Grantland?
Yeah. You surprised?
No.
I'm not either. I mean, it's an expensive site, and people, I'll be honest, like, I rarely read it because stuff is just too long. It's not the kind of news that I want, and it's mostly opinions and takes and things like that, and it's not for current day, you know, people. Like, the modern dude isn't going to sit down and read that. Just doesn't have time for it.
Well, and the problem I always had with it is I think there's a place for long-form journalism. I really do. And that's what it could have been, and it was never really that. What it was is a site where they just let people write as long as they want about whatever they want, and it was hard to read. And you can do good long stories that keep people engaged, but you damn well better edit them well.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened there. They just kind of It was Bill Simmons' baby, but to me it had too much of his personality in terms of how it was structured, because that's how his column used to be. He'd just write endlessly, and there was never any editing, and he just put everything in there, and the people who loved it were all over it. Yep. But I found the site. I thought it was a great concept. There's some really good people there that I enjoy. I enjoy some of the stuff that there's certain writers there that I like, but for the most part, I just don't think it ever was going to, in the form it was in, I don't think it was ever going to survive, and cost an awful lot of money, and it doesn't really bring any in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me, but it's a shame. I do wish we I wish there was a good place for long-form journalism that on the internet, because it really doesn't exist there.
But it's not with...
And Grantland didn't... It didn't exist with Grantland either.
No.
Not good long-form journalism. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We got a little Delotti coming up. You'll get to hear his audio, too. I know you're all excited. And RJ Bell when we return. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
Listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
And it makes me wonder. And we are back on The Blitz. And my favorite segment of the week. Joining us as he does every Friday, founder of pregame.com. Can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Our good buddy RJ Bell. What's going on today, sir?
Former writer for Grantland, which got shut down today.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. I read some of your stuff on there and some of the other guys. I think that site was never quite what it could have been, though, in my perspective. But I'm sorry to see it go.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because. It seems like the aficionados of long-form writing in sports seem to have, in general, really liked the site. And, you know, I would do a Vegas recap, so it wouldn't be classic long-form. And as a writer, I'm not in the class of their A guys. But I felt like that, you know, I'm 45, so I'm in that weird age where I don't remember there not being computers, even though they were, like, really rudimentary computers when I was a kid. So I feel connected to electronics, but I also don't feel like, you know, I wasn't playing with an iPhone when I was 4, you know. So I love to read on paper still. I guess I'm on the computer, you know, 8-10 hours a day. So if I get a chance to read, I'd so much rather read a book or a magazine than the web. And to me, that long form stuff just lends itself, you know, so much better to a book or magazine. But the flip side is a book and a magazine can't be as timely as the web. And that's why I think the web might be more inclined towards shorter pieces that are more time-based.
See, I think it would work if you actually edited them instead of just letting people there's good long form, and then there's just droning on, and there was too much of that for me.
And you can make the case that they let the inmates run the asylum to some degree.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's always fun, because sometimes you'll see it with a movie director who will be his own producer, and he'll come up with a 4.5-hour movie, and most of the time they're not watchable, but then occasionally you get something, you know, amazingly brilliant.
Usually from Quentin Tarantino, but I'm a former editor, so that's why I'm sure it's just me. Let's talk about these Texans and Titans, because I know you've been asked about that game every show you've done this week.
Now, who's playing? Who's in this game now?
Some team from Houston and some team from Tennessee.
Well, I tell you, the thing that I've been thinking about with this game all week as I've prepped for it is what you guys mentioned last week, which is I said, hey, the yardage differential isn't so bad with this Houston team. And you made a point, hey, they've been blown out at least one clear time against Atlanta, and, you know, some other times perhaps where the stats were easy to come by. Because when you're losing by 40, it's pretty easy to get yards because the other team's in a prevent. Still, Houston has a positive yardage differential on the season, but I do think now we have another game where that was, you know, where they were down 41-0, the Texans, and only had 80 yards with 9 minutes left in the third quarter, and then many yards after that. So I think you've got to be careful with the stats with Houston, as you guys pointed out first. Also, though, and this isn't great, the worst ATS margin in the NFL this year. So let's define ATS margin. Is you take how many points you either were better than or worse than the spread each week. You add those up and then divide by the number of games. Houston has fallen short of the spread by 5.8 points per game. That's the worst in the league. So really, another way you can say it is the spread by definition is expectation. You guys have fallen short of expectation more than any other team.
And they're somehow 3.5-point favorites this week.
Well, you got the Titans with Mariota being uncertain. By the way, just to be clear, with Mariota is about 1.5 points right now is what Vegas is valuing over the backup. So, yeah, it's an advantage to have him, but certainly not a huge difference. And Tennessee's a team that, you know, seeing signs of optimism, I think, but certainly, you know, in the bottom quarter of the league right now. So Houston home field, maybe it should be 3, maybe 3.5, but certainly Houston should be favored.
Well, you were spot on your Steelers last week, and I've seen that line bounce around from right now. I'm seeing pick'em. What do you got on that game?
Yeah, two games this week that you're seeing some two-way movement right around pick'em, and Pittsburgh's one of them, and it's worth talking about. Every point or half point is not created equal. In the NFL, all that matters is how likely is it for this game to end at a certain score. So if you actually think about it, even is such a the only way even matters, right, is if it ends up going to overtime and then it's a tie. So not a valuable number at all. -1 or +1 are not valuable because those are rare numbers to fall a game by 1 point. It happens, but it's rare. And also keep in mind, when you tick from -1, you don't go to -0.5. -0.5 doesn't mean anything. So you go to pick 'em. And then when you go the other way, it's pick 'em to +1. So though from -1 to +1 feels like 2 points, if you just do the math, it actually is only 1 point of true movement because of those ticks. So it's funny because I've been noticing too, you know, we do the lines now for the Associated Press twice a day. So every day I'm looking at all the lines and seeing the movement from the last update. And you're really seeing these games go +1, -1, feels substantial, but it really isn't if you dig deep.
Well, you've got an undefeated team in the pack, in the Broncos, that are not favored at home, obviously because they're playing another undefeated team. What do you got on that one?
Yeah, one of my better bets of the week. I like Denver here. I think it's justified the Green Bay's favored. 3 in some spots, 2.5 in others. Denver is not amongst the best teams in the league. If you look at the Vegas power rankings, we put those out every Wednesday, rank the teams 1 to 32 based on the Vegas perspective. And clearly New England's number 1, and clearly Green Bay's number 2. And then when you get to 3, it's Cincinnati, a lot of people think. You'll hear people talk Arizona. I tend towards Arizona, actually. I think they're an underrated team a little bit. But Denver's down that list. And the reason is offense. The reason is Peyton Manning. I mean, it's too easy to say, oh, what's his quarterback rating? But that's a starting point. He's number 31 in the league. This is a team that has scored 1 offensive touchdown the last 2 games. 8 quarters, 1 offensive touchdown for Denver. And you might say, okay, wow, it doesn't sound like you like Denver too much. No, it's why we're getting 3 points at home. This is the biggest underdog for Peyton Manning since 2008. So think about that. We're talking like 7 years. He was out 1 year, but many, many years since he was this big of an underdog at home. And I also think, and here's the key to the whole game, in my opinion, both the defenses are 1 and 2 in the league, I think. And Jets are kind of next in that mix of who has the best defense. Green Bay, though, if you just look at the scoring, look at the yards, they're right there at the top of the league. So now the question is offense. It's like, okay, well, Green Bay, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, has the better offense. So why not like Green Bay? It's because of the Packers on the road. There's no team in the league that has a bigger split, a bigger difference in performance between home and road. I think Green Bay right now is the toughest place to win in the NFL. But if you look at them on the road since the start of last year, so now we have 1.5 years of data, 6-5 straight up, and they've been outscored in those games. So to me, it's not Green Bay's the better team. Green Bay on a neutral would be favored by 6. Green Bay at home would be favored by about 9 in this game. But being favored by 3 on the road, I think, is the worst spot for them of any of those permutations. That's why I like Denver.
Fred and I were talking. Oh, I'm on the wrong microphone. Real pro. Fred and I were talking about the Indianapolis Colts, and obviously that team is not very good. But I don't know that they're a team that should be 7-point underdogs against Carolina, who is another team that I think, while I think they're good, I don't think they're as good as their record would suggest. Is that kind of the consensus that, you know, Indy is just junk now and 7 points is a reasonable line in this game?
I think so. I mean, Indy's a team whose record has been better than their stats for a couple of years, and this year it feels like it finally caught up with them. And obviously there's been some changes. This isn't the same team as 2 years ago or whatever. But I also think, well, let me ask you. I mean, you guys, I respect both your opinions. Is 1-32, where do you think the Colts are right now? With Andrew Luck at the health that he is, which by most accounts is less than 100%.
I would guess they're probably around 20.
See, I'd have them lower than that. I'd have them 25, 26.
Wow, geez. So then, I mean, if they're 25 or 26, maybe the Browns are right next to them. So you're saying you think the Browns would only be 7 at Carolina? So I think that's kind of the point, is this line is pretty much saying the Colts are maybe 16 or 17. So if you actually think they're 25 or so, you should be liking Carolina here. And if you think they're 10 or so, you should be liking the Colts. But if you think they're middle of the pack, and that's what Vegas thinks, that's what our power rankings say, is they're exactly an even team. And to me, Carolina, yeah, you're right. They're not in that conversation for the best team in the league. But they had 2 drives late against Seattle that were tough drives on the road. We talked about Green Bay being so good at home. Seattle's right there. I mean, 3 toughest places to win, no doubt, in the league. It's going to be Seattle, Green Bay, and the Patriots right now. And this team went into Seattle and won the game with fourth quarter performance. And to me, you got to give them credit. You can't just keep winning in this league and not get credit. What scares me, though, and the reason I won't lay it with Carolina, if you would have bet this game last week, and it's a great tool, you look at the early lines that come out of Vegas before that week's games, for this week's games, and then what do you get to see is how does the line change based on one set of games? Carolina was 3.5. Ooh, so The Colts getting beat as bad as they did by the Saints really has soured people on the Colts, and now we're up to 7. So to me, 3.5, you got to love it. At 7, I don't think there's much value left if you like the favorite.
Yeah, I couldn't touch it at that. I really want to bet the Colts, too, with that number, but I just can't. I'm staying
away
from
that. But see, isn't that the perfect line?
Yeah.
Vegas should make it where a thoughtful analytical handicapper most of the time says, oh, man, if it was only 9.5, I'd take the dog. If it was only 4, I'd take the favorite. Ah, it's 7.
You know,
I got to pass.
That brings me to the next thing is, where is Vegas going to have to start setting New England numbers? Like, are they going to have to bump New England way more than they're comfortable with? Because I see every week that almost all the public money comes in on New England, and then New England inevitably covers. So, and Vegas doesn't like to keep losing money. What are they going to have to do to make up for this?
Well, really, the impact hasn't been as bad, because if you think about it, the Pats have been backdoored 3 times this year against the Steelers. Remember the late touchdown?
Oh,
brought it to
yeah.
7. They were backdoored against the Jets with the 55-yard field goal, and then against the Colts. So you're right. With like 2 minutes left in the game, the Pats are like undefeated this year against the spread. But and again, a lot of those games fell close to the number. Pittsburgh, there were 7.5 in that game, and there were 6.5 and lower. Same thing with the Jets. Actually, that there was more Jets money 2 weeks ago in that game. So, but listen, we've got history on this. The 2007 Patriots, when they went undefeated, the first 8 games, they were like 8-0 against the spread. They were like, I think they were, I'm going by memory here, I think they were 1-7 ATS the last 8. So once Vegas sees everyone's on a team, they have no problem with putting a real premium on that team. And usually you want to look to fade them at that point.
All right, that's RJ Bell, as always, bringing the genius, sir. We appreciate the time, and look forward to talking to you again next week with more good stuff.
Hey, enjoy the games, guys. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to play a couple of his games there. He's got me talked into him. I was going to sit out more this week, but oh well.
You're being suckered in?
Yeah, I'm kind of being suckered in a little bit. Because that Denver line intrigues me, and now he's kind of got me thinking a lot more about it. So, hey, you know, good place to go watch all the games, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's Sunday, or you want to go watch games tonight, watch some World Series, watch basketball, got your Rockets, go to Tupelo's, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. And Chip and the gang up there just do a great job. It is just the coolest sports bar. And they've got everything you could possibly want. Great setup where you can see all the TVs, watch all your sports, terrific food. They've got a great beer menu. And on top of that, yeah, the staff is terrific. So you're going to go, you're going to feel like you're at home, and you can even take the kids. That's a cool thing. It's a great place for the whole family. You can take the kids. You're not going to feel out of place. And you know what? If you don't have kids, you're not going to be out of place either. You're going to be sitting up there at the bar. Going to be lots of beautiful women. You're going to be having a great time. And good-looking men for the ladies out there. So go check them out, man. And you know we love Tupelo's. We're out there all the time. Going to be out there again here in November. It's the kind of place you can really make your home away from home. It's a neighborhood bar with great food and great people. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, Tupelo's, Tupelo's.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. International Eye Care is giving a free LASIK procedure. It includes all testing, LASIK, and all follow-up appointments for a year. To enter to win, log on to ESPN 97.5's Facebook page, post why you should deserve a free procedure, and fill out an entry form. This is the last day to enter. I did that. I filled it out, but they told me I couldn't win. Yeah. So I think I deserve it. Boy, this place has become a lot more fun since they started drinking on Fridays in there.
Yeah, they're all partying in there.
Yeah, this is. I mean, they have an excuse almost every week now. Okay, somebody's leaving. Great, let's bring a bunch of alcohol in. Oh, it's Halloween tomorrow? Let's bring a bunch of alcohol in. Starting to like these people.
Did you see that Pierre Garçon is leading a class action lawsuit against FanDuel?
Did not see that.
He's suing for misuse of players' names and likenesses, exploiting them without proper licenses or permissions. The lawsuit notes that Garçon's name appears frequently in FanDuel commercials. FanDuel has taken the liberty to engage in these actions without my consent and without the proper licensing rights. As a result of these activities, FanDuel Daily Fantasy Contest have shown increasing revenues leading to large profits. Yeah, Pierre, your name is really that's really boosting FanDuel. DraftKings is not named in the suit. They have a marketing relationship with the NFLPA, which allows the company to put players like Gronkowski in their advertising. I don't understand what the big difference is between, like, that's like saying, well, people are going to buy newspapers because they want to read the box score from last night, and your name's probably going to show up in the box score.
Yeah, I can kind of understand where, if you're the NFLPA, you might want to try to get into this money train that everybody else is on. But
I don't think this lawsuit has much to stand on.
If it's using your likeness, that's one thing. If it's just using your name, man, you're a public figure. I mean, it's not like they're saying, if you play this game, you get to meet Pierre Garçon.
Right.
So I don't know. I had exactly one half of one semester of law school, so I probably missed the class on that.
Probably so.
So anyway, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, we go to Missouri. Where a 69-year-old man,
Missouri,
was arrested. And
how old was he?
69.
Sorry.
And once again, I was about to say something inappropriate. But, if you're 69, come on, man. Anyway, you don't want to see that.
Right.
You don't even want to think about that.
No.
He showed up at the Ozark Mountain Monopoly Tournament.
Okay.
He wanted to compete.
Well, who doesn't?
They, unfortunately, said no, Mr. Litton. You cannot play because he had engaged in unsportsmanlike conduct during the 2014 tournament.
Oh, he's banished from the tournaments.
It didn't specify what happened last time.
But we all know it was pretty bad.
Well, they said he was rude and critical of other players during the tournament. Dude, that would get, you wouldn't be able to do it.
No. But anyway,
if you ever played poker with me, you know I'm very talkative at the table. And the entire goal of all my talk is to make other people feel really stupid. And I would do the same thing at a Monopoly tournament.
Well, the director asked him to sit it out. He said, wouldn't you agree that the tone and attitude at your table was negative?
You really putting a hotel on that, bro? Oh, you're going to put a hotel on Connecticut Avenue? What? Well, just hand me your money and go take a bathroom break.
Then he said. Then he started telling me the ladies at the table were cheating, and he didn't feel like he should be penalized. And then the guy starts cursing at him. He showed up at the tournament the next day. He was asked to leave, but he reacted by attacking some of the people playing. So I'm guessing there was a reason he was banned in the first place. But he punched one of the ladies who sat at his table last year. He made an open threat toward another lady, and he pawed me on the chest. Now, this guy's 69, so I'm pretty sure the punching and the pawing on the chest is not very effective.
Wait, so this guy literally got sent to jail?
Yes, and guess what he doesn't have?
$200.
If he does not pass go.
Or a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Oh, zing.
And he's still in jail. And, yeah, that's...
Is a lot of you a big Monopoly guy?
No, it bores me now. When I was a kid, yeah, I used to play it.
What do you like to be, the iron?
I don't even remember now. No, I think I was the car.
Oh, the car. That's a popular piece. What are you, Fred?
Yeah, I don't remember. I usually got stuck with the shoe.
I'm a top hat guy. I like that top hat. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be the dog, but now I don't have patience for it because the dog always falls over. Always.
Yeah.
Like, who has time to keep picking up your piece and standing them upright?
Do you guys still play board games at all?
No.
I do occasionally. Well, I've got two little kids in my house. So, yeah. I played Candyland earlier this week.
But, I mean, stuff you would enjoy otherwise.
There's some, there's some games now that we'll play that are, when we have family gatherings and stuff like that. But they're more they're mostly adult themed. Not, like, sex adult themed, but, they're not appropriate for kids to play.
There's a couple that my kids and I will do sometimes. One of them's apples to apples, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that Settlers of Catan we play sometimes.
I play that too.
Yeah, it's fun.
I can't believe kids even know what board games are since most of the games are on their cell phones now.
Yeah, the world's changing, but it is funny. At least my kids, as much as they love their PS4s and Xboxes and Wiis and everything else, they still like playing those board games on occasion.
Yep.
Where you just kind of sit down and everybody's talking smack to each other, and it's good times. Good times.
Playing Monopoly on his PlayStation is probably a move, too.
Probably so.
Yep, because that's a thing.
Yeah.
You can buy Monopoly for PlayStation.
I used to play Scrabble on Facebook all the time.
Okay.
But then I started figuring out people were basically cheating by looking up words online while they were playing. It's like, that's no fun. Northside Mike said, you guys would enjoy Cards Against Humanity if you've never played
it. That's one of the ones that we play.
Yeah, I haven't actually played it, but they have those cards at one of the bars we hang out, so I've read a lot of them.
It's an adult apples to apples game.
Yeah. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. A lot of good stuff coming up next hour. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
713-780-ESPN is your number. International Eye Care is giving a free LASIK procedure. It includes all testing, LASIK, and all follow-up appointments for a year. To enter to win, log on to ESPN 97.5's Facebook page, post why you should deserve a free procedure, and fill out an entry form. This is the last day to enter. I did that. I filled it out, but they told me I couldn't win.
Yeah.
So I think I deserve it. Boy, this place has become a lot more fun since they started drinking on Fridays in there.
Yeah, they're all partying in there.
Yeah, they have an excuse almost every week now. Okay, somebody's leaving. Great, let's bring a bunch of alcohol in. Oh, it's Halloween tomorrow? Let's bring a bunch of alcohol in. Starting to like these people.
You see that Pierre Garçon is leading a class action lawsuit against FanDuel?
Did not see that.
He's suing for misuse of players' names and likenesses, exploiting them without proper licenses or permissions. The lawsuit notes that Garcon's name appears frequently in FanDuel commercials. FanDuel has taken the liberty to engage in these actions without my consent and without the proper licensing rights. As a result of these activities, FanDuel Daily Fantasy Contest have shown increasing revenues leading to large profits. Yeah, Pierre, your name is really that's really boosting FanDuel. DraftKings is not named in the suit. They have a marketing relationship with the NFLPA, which allows the company to put players like Gronkowski in their advertising. I don't understand what the big difference is between, like, that's like saying, well, people are going to buy newspapers because they want to see, they want to read the box score from last night, and your name's probably going to show up in the box score.
Yeah, I can kind of understand where, if you're the NFLPA, you might want to try to get into this money train that everybody else is on. But
I don't think this lawsuit has much to stand on.
If it's using your likeness, that's one thing. If it's just using your name, man, you're a public figure. I mean, it's not like they're saying, you know, if you play.